Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, October 11th, 2021. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 90, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Laura R. reading the 12 Steps, Dori P. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Kara L., Shelley E., and Betsy H. The reference numbers for yesterday and this morning, for Sunday, the special edition on October 10th, the share ID is 17,897 or 17897. And for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast meeting, the reference number is 17,900 or 17900. Our newcomer greeter today at the end of the meeting will be Lorraine. And making announcements at the end of the meeting will be Leslie M. Thank you all. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message, its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. And Dori P., would you please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous?
Yes, Kathy, good morning. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever not professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you very much, Dori P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study on page 90 in the Big Book, and I will ask Kara L. to get us started. Good morning, Kara.
Kathy, I'm here. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Good morning. If there is any indication that he wants to stop, have a good talk with the person most interested in him, usually his wife. Get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, the seriousness of his condition, and his religious leanings. You need this information to put yourself in his place, to see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. From Colorado today. This passage really talks to me about identification and compassion. And today I don't usually approach the spouses of my sponsees or the newcomer, but I do listen and I sit and I listen and I learn all about them because I know that when somebody approached me, I wasn't ready and it took probably about 15 years before I came in to program, but the seed was there and it had been planted. And so I know that I need to listen today. I need to be identifiable today because I will only listen to somebody who's been through what I've been through. And so I ask my higher power for direction when I'm meeting the new person to be able to be an active, compassionate listener and find out about them. And then I ask my higher power, you know, please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision how to proceed in this moment. And it usually works out. As long as I rely on my higher power. With that, I pass. Thank you all.
Thank you, Kara L. Okay, I am now ready to take names of people who would like to share on this paragraph.
Elena C.
Elena C.
Jennifer
Who else? Anyone else want to share?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Jody
Jennifer
E.
A.
Jody E. Jennifer A. Anybody else? Okay, we'll start with this group then. Elena C., Deborah G., Jody E., and Jennifer A. Please get us started, Elena.
Good morning, Kathy. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so a chapter working with others, I read it together with my sponsor. Before that, I was doing some homework by myself. Because it's a very, very important chapter in our recovery, in our own recovery. If I do not pass on to others what I got, chances are I'm going to relapse and I'm going to get back into food. And I truly believe that. Now, back then, as we see, they did work with people's families. It's rare that I see, maybe there are cases that people work with people with families. Maybe they do. So far, people I know and myself, I have not gotten a chance to go with people's families. But, you know, like the other, the speaker was saying, we can listen. I can listen and I can empathize. And empathy for me, like you said in the last paragraph, what would it be like for me for him to approach me if the tables were turned, meaning putting myself in the other person's shoes, understanding first what he or she has been going through, what are the blocks, what are the resistance, if they have any resistance, to start working on the stuff. But only if it gives me indication that the person wants to stop. If they don't want to stop, there's nothing in the world I can do. Everybody has their journey. But anyway, returning to empathy, empathy is a desire, genuine desire, to try to understand the other person without losing myself. So these two components, or three components for me, is understand the other person, try and attempt, because I can never be truly, I can't know for 100% what the person is feeling or experiencing, even if I put myself in their shoes. So it's an attempt, it's understanding, and not losing self. Three components, okay? So what that means is that I need to continue to work on my recovery while I'm helping others. And the way I work on my recovery today is by staying at a 10-11. I have a God squad. I attend the meetings. I continue every day to get up and listen to you guys and, you know, do my work. And I am very grateful for that. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elena C. Deborah G., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Kathy, for your service and everyone for their service and making this meeting possible and the share so far. And I'm learning more and more to meet someone where they're at, you know, and listening to where they're at, you know, because I won't know where they're at till I listen. And it's an ongoing practice of that. And I see myself, like, when I'm working with someone, as more or less like a guide, like, their spiritual practice, religious practice is theirs. And they can have their own concept of what that power is in step two. I have a concept and everyone else has a different concept. And I've learned that that concept has changed through the years or through the times that I've gone through the steps. So letting them have that same experience, because I don't know where another's belief or their experience until I listen to them, and then whatever they would like to bring. It's just a very observing kind of practice, and just guiding them through. And I'm learning too, if they really want to do it. I don't want to push anybody into doing anything they don't want to do, you know. And so that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Jody E., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So if there is any indication that he wants to stop, then go talk to his wife. Well, I don't think there are many of us who do it this way these days. We don't have to go looking so much. People come to us today thanks to modern technology, thanks to this meeting. There are plenty of people who are looking for a sponsor, and really that's ideal, someone wanting what we have first rather than trying to get somebody to want what we have. So looking at the last sentence here, the last part of the last sentence, how would you like him to approach you if the tables were turned? So if I honestly think about that, how do I want my sponsor to approach me? Do I want my sponsor to enable me? No, I don't. I don't want a codependent sponsor, but nor do I want a Nazi sponsor. I want a caring, compassionate, loving sponsor, but not a sponsor who will co-sign my own self-delusion. This disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I need a sponsor who understands the disease and who understands the twist of the mind, which is the larger aspect of my disease. So someone who can lovingly see when I am deluded, when my disease is speaking rather than my higher power. And I need a sponsor who is connected to their higher power and who is recovered. I really need that. And I need to talk to people who are recovered also. I need a God squad of recovered people, so that I can stay on the right track. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Kathy, I need you to unmute.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Jody E. I didn't realize I was muted. And Jennifer A., would you please share with us?
I'd be happy to. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm Jennifer A.
Jennifer, we can't hear you. Press star one to unmute. Jennifer? Okay, I think we lost Jennifer for some reason. So I am going to pause now and remind those who joined us late that we're on the second full paragraph on page 90. And I would like to invite others who would like to share this morning. Can I be heard?
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, we hear you.
Thank you. Who would like...
Yeah? This is Jennifer A. I got cut off. I'm so sorry.
Oh, great. Jennifer. Okay, go ahead.
I'm so sorry. This is Jennifer A., a grateful compulsive overeater in Santa Clara, California. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so excited for this topic. If there's any indication they want to stop, the two individuals that come to my mind for me for right now, what two of my dearest friends, who I would call part of my God squad, I could never go to their husbands, absolutely not. I know them, and they would look at me like, what are you talking about? But they're watching me. You know, I made no secret when I joined this group and joined OA. We've been talking for years about our overeating and our food issues and weight issues and, you know, the spiritual malady of it all. I've been openly sharing with them about getting a sponsor and this group and how it's connected to the big book and everything. And they are curious and they are asking me, and I'm openly sharing. You know, we talk about attraction rather than promotion, and I'm so grateful to be part of the attraction of this program and this meeting for them. And who knows, maybe they will too see the handiwork of my higher power in my life, because I know they have a higher power in their life, and that they too will find freedom and be able to see the seriousness of their condition and see it for what it is, you know, that we have our mistaken beliefs. I had my mistaken beliefs when I came in here, and that I could be just that instrument in their life through this program in just a small, short period of time. I barely knew. I came in August, got a sponsor fairly quickly, and have latched on to this program like a lifesaver, just like they talk about, and I'm very grateful, and I feel hope. Just be able to pass this message along, because for myself, I do understand the seriousness of this condition now. Although I must say, I don't particularly care for that knowledge. Sometimes it moves to bliss, but that's okay, because now I know a new freedom, and I'm very grateful for that. So thank you for doing service, and I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer A. Okay, I'm going to pause now to invite others who haven't shared in the last couple of days. Please let me know if you'd like to share.
Shay B.
Jeff S.
Jeff S. Did I hear Melissa? No, I guess not. Okay, so I have Shay B. and Jess S. Who else would like to share?
Linda C.
I'm sorry, I just heard C. What's your first name? Who is that who just said their name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Linda C.
Linda C. Thank you, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Who else would like to share? Okay, we will go ahead with these three people, Shay B., Jess S., and Linda C. Please go ahead, Shay.
It's Faye with an F-A-Y-E, B in Arizona, there. Hey. Good morning. Yep, thank you. What stood out to me in this paragraph is so much about listening. Get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, the seriousness of his condition, and his religious leanings. And that just kind of coupled with what I have, my practice lately in the morning for my prayer and meditation time has been to engage in two-way prayer. And I read the readings in the Bible that the early members of OA or AA did when they were writing in the book and creating the organization. And one of those is the book of James. And this morning I read, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." And I thought, oh, this just goes so well with what we're reading today and how important it is to listen to the suffering person's story, to hear where they are at, where they've come from. Don't judge, don't interrupt too much, but at the appropriate time, share your story so that they can relate and see that you've gone through the same things they're going through, and that this book and God can do for them what they can't do for themselves. That's it for me. Thank you for letting me share. Appreciate it. Have
Thank
a good day.
You. Thank you, Faye B. Jess S., please share with us.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jess S., compulsive overeater from Wisconsin, and absent for today. And thank you for the service that you're doing, Kathy. And what I was thinking was we don't sponsor alone. So, you know, when they used to go visit people, they always went in pairs because they never knew what was going to happen. And that's how I've learned, you know, to do that, to do a 12 step. Now, when it comes to sponsoring, we're also not alone because, I have a sponsor and my sponsor has a sponsor and her sponsor has a sponsor. So, you know, I think sometimes there's anxiety about talking to new people or talking to or getting a problem that we can't handle. Or I'll speak for myself. I'm anxious about getting a problem I can't handle. I just started sponsoring in this abstinence, period of abstinence. And what people keep reminding me is that, yeah, we don't sponsor alone. And that if I have a question, I can ask it. I have a higher power. You know, my sponsorship needs to be God-centered, not me-centered. And that is the key. I think if I'm listening to my higher power as well as meeting the person where they're at, then we're going to be all right. You know, like I think that it's when I take the reins and I want to control and I want to get somebody abstinent or, you know, I want them to do certain things. That's when I know I'm in trouble, is, you know, so I just need to keep my higher power focused on my higher power and focused on really just being of service, really wanting to give away what I've been given, because it's such a miracle what I've been given. Abstinence is a miracle for me. And I'm clear. I'm in proportion today. That's what they say the definition of sanity is clear, you know, it's that proportional thinking rather than the disproportional thinking I'm prone to. And so, you know, how grateful am I that I have a whole community that can support me in 12-stepping people, in sponsoring, in just taking calls, you know, going to the meeting, showing my face on Zoom, or in person, you know, if there were in-person meetings and that kind of thing. So, you know, I'm just really grateful that we get the opportunity to listen to a newcomer and share our story and our, you know, the causes and conditions of our illness because it's a killer illness. It is a critical killer illness that we have, and I am just so grateful today to be absent. So thank you. I hope everyone has a lovely day. Bye.
Thank you, Jess S. Linda C., please share with us. Linda, are you there? I don't hear Linda C. Can I be heard?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, now I can, Linda. Great. Thank you.
Sorry, I thought I was unmuted.
Okay.
Thank you. You know, I'm always so afraid to share, and so what my thing is recently is to face my fear in terms of sharing. And it's really become clear to me that when I talk to a newcomer, I have to take that 3-second pause and go to my God. And as soon as I make that connection, and when I'm absent and I can do it, and think, thy will be done, use me as you will, then all the fear of being good enough or saying the right thing or my ego impressing the newcomer or whatever, all of that is removed. And I become the faucet and God becomes the water through me. And it's so humbling to actually feel that God is actually using me. And it puts me in a place of neutrality where I don't feel like I'm not good enough and I don't feel like I'm too good. And so whatever comes out of me, it takes that responsibility off of my shoulders of doing the right thing and just letting God use me. And it's not important so much as what I'm saying. It's more important that the newcomer is getting whatever God wants, and that's none of my business as long as I show up. And this program is such a miracle. It's giving me everything I've ever wanted or needed in terms of self-confidence, self-love. And I've always loved helping people, but it was always on my terms. So when I do it on God's terms, I get so much more back than I ever could have imagined. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for all of your service. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Linda C. Okay. Just a reminder, we are sharing on page 90, the second full paragraph. And another reminder that we do not bring in outside literature to our shares according to the 12 traditions of OA. So thank you for that. Okay, who else would like to share?
Leah S.
Hi, Leah S. Thank you. Who else?
Janice K.
Janice K.
Alice Z.
Alice Z. Is it Alice?
No, it's Alla. A-L-L-A.
Okay, Alla Z. Thank you. Well.
Heidi L. from Toronto.
Heidi L. Anyone else? Okay. Leah S., please share with us.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Kathy. Oh, I think it's Kathy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I haven't heard you in a while. Thank you so much. And my name is Leah S. I'm gratefully recovered in Brooklyn, New York. So, wow. You know, when I first came into this program, everything seemed so overwhelming, so huge. It was just like, how do I tackle this weight loss? How do I tackle this life? How do I tackle my emotions? How do I do this? And then I got through until step 11, and I was nearing step 12 and becoming really nervous. What is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? And you know what? I learned so much in each and every step. I learned so much in my own life. And that's all that God is wanting for me to give over. That's exactly only what God wants me to say. And so if I didn't go through your experience, I'm going to tell you, I didn't go through that experience, but I went through hell. And to me, what to me is hell might be hell to you. And I can get out of that in a most miraculous way, in a simple way. And Rome wasn't built in one day. I didn't gain weight in one day. And nothing happened in one day. So we take it step by step, little pieces by little pieces. And that's how I always have God in mind, because if I were feeling those feelings that you were feeling, then how would I would like to be treated? And that's all that I have to imagine. And then somehow things just work out. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Leah F. Good to hear you. Janice K., please share with us.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. Sometimes I look at this book and I can tell that Bill was a salesman, because I was a salesman. And this is kind of basic out of the book, not that he's trying to sell something, because the best salesmen aren't selling you things. The best salesmen are helping you meet a need. The best of us will find out who you are, what you do, what you believe, what you want. I would have people come in and ask me for and tell me things like, well, I don't mind paying for quality, but I don't want to buy junk. And I knew just where they needed to go at that point. Get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, the seriousness. Yeah, sponsorship is not about me. Sponsorship is a relationship for me. It's listening. Can I give you what you say you want? Are you willing to help me on this journey? Are you willing to listen to me? Are you willing to listen to God? That's the big one. And I have to be honest about what I have, because everyone, sadly, has to do a cost-value analysis. How much change are you willing to endure in your life? How fast? Are you really willing to? The big one that I encounter is trust God frequently. Are you really willing to take a step off that edge and trust God when you fall? Are you willing to dive backwards into the abyss of the universe and expect loving hands to catch you? Sometimes in program we have to do that. Someone once said that there was such a thing as a divine question in each life. My divine question is not me asking God something. My divine question is time after time after time having a power greater than myself turn to me and say, so, now do you trust me? And with any luck, my answer is yes. With any luck, with any surrender, my answer is yes. So thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. Ala Z, please share with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Ala Z. I am really new to Vision for You, not so new to OA.
and I was just compelled to share because I am in a transition from one sponsor to another because I picked up the food. In my previous experience with Roy, it was very traumatic to me, this type of transition, because I had to experience it before. But this time around, it is just from one, it feels like from one loving hand to other loving hands. And I guess the journey that I had taken with my first sponsor, Envision, has taken me far enough to have the trust that this group is supporting me lovingly also. And people see me, and I can actually relax imperfectly into the process and know that I am safe to work out the things that I need to work out. And I actually believe that I can succeed. So I'm infinitely grateful. Infinitely grateful to all of the sponsors who work with us, compulsive eaters, because it's a tough job. We're fighting a very tough illness, condition, or living condition, or a type of person that we are. But you know, to actually bring us into trust and reliance of higher power instead of doing everything in life with food is a tough task. So I just wanted to express my gratitude here. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ala Z, and I hope you keep coming back. Welcome. Okay, Heidi L., please share with us.
Hi there. My name is Heidi L. I'm from Toronto, and this is my first time on the 10 a.m. meeting. I've been at the 7 a.m. meeting quite a few times, and I'm really grateful to all of you. I just need to share with you that after many, many years in the program and about a year or so of being separated from my husband and living in my own place and all of that, finally, last night I had a really peaceful night all by myself. I ate an abstinent meal. I figured out how to turn on the TV. I watched a movie. I went to bed. I wanted to get up for the 7 a.m. meeting, but I slept through. And I just felt good. And I am grateful to this program. I am grateful for the people who are in this program who have come before me. And I'm grateful right now to, I was 20 years ago, this 22 years ago this weekend, I got married. And I had two parents, two grandmothers, I had in-laws, and now all of those people are gone. And I have my two kids. I have friends, I have a program, I have a higher power, and life goes on. And it's a beautiful day in Toronto, and I am going to hopefully have a good day. I've done some service this morning. I have a small lump in my throat. My sponsee called me from the East Coast, no, from the West Coast, and I spoke to her this morning, and now I'm speaking to you guys. And I have a good life. And I don't have to worry about tomorrow or yesterday. I just have to worry about today. And this program has given me a lot of gifts. And thank you all very, very much. I pass.
Thank you, Heidi L., for your share. Okay, we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share? Anybody want to share today?
This is Sue Ann T.
Okay, I didn't get your name. Can you tell me again?
Sue Ann?
Sue Ann. Okay, thank you, Sue Ann T. Anybody else? Okay, Sue Ann, please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. As I'm reading this chapter,
I'm just so grateful that it provides the instructions on how, when I get to this step in A Vision for You, I have the instructions on how to work with another person and share my experience, strength, and hope. And by this time, there's a promise there in that step 12 that says that I'm going to have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And then I am to carry this message. And this chapter also gives me a way to look at my relationship with my sponsor. You know, has she had or he the spiritual experience sufficient to carry the message? So it kind of works both ways, and I'm very grateful for that. Another thing is that the second part of this step says, and to practice these principles in all my affairs. So this chapter is also full of principles that I can apply not only to working with fellow sufferers, but everybody that I come into contact with. I mean, just a couple of paragraphs earlier, it says, cooperate, never criticize. Be helpful is our only aim. And in this paragraph we read today, the very last sentence says, you need this information to put yourself in his place to see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned. I can apply that to anybody I come into contact with today. Put myself in their place. And so I just appreciate all this that's lined out, and it's awesome. It's kind of fun to look and see what those principles are. And then, of course, God is in charge, and he's doing for me what I can't do for myself, just even showing me when maybe I'm struggling with that principle and not demonstrating it, you know. So anyways, thank you all for being here today. You guys have a blessed day. I pass.
Thanks so much, Sue Ann T. And I think I heard someone else trying to get in. Was there one more person?
If not, Janice K. in Charleston would like to share.
Okay, Janice, you have 2 minutes, okay?
Well, trust me, I'll do it much shorter.
Okay, go ahead.
The word principle. I love to look up words, and P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E is a fundamental truth or law as the basis of reasoning. It's a personal code of conduct. And it goes on to elaborate more about the word principle. So when I do the readings in the book, I like to look up the words to see what they mean, and I encourage everybody else to do so. I thank you, ma'am.
Who has been with us today, who has shared and listened. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and do stay around afterwards to hear from our newcomers and from Leslie M., who will give us announcements. Okay, Shelley E., would you please read A Vision for You?
You bet. Good morning, Kathleen. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, presently in northern Michigan. Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.